Very good morning. It's at now 9 minutes past 10. Now, today, you may not know this, but it's National Burns Awareness Day. Each year around this time, advertisements will be aimed at parents and families, encouraging them to be especially vigilant with their children around fireworks and open flames. But what about the risks of burns and scalds posed to children every single day of the year? Those that aren't always the focus, and those that perhaps we as parents wouldn't necessarily be aware of ourselves. I spoke with Lucy Wilson, who told me firsthand just how burns can be.
A day before my first birthday, I was badly scalded in a bathwater incident where I was accidentally left unsupervised at the time. And yeah, I was burnt to the third degree, over 30% of my body surface.
When you say accidentally left unsupervised, what actually happened? Why were you on your own in a hot bath?
So, you know, parents can't stay with their children 24/7, and it was just a case of nipping out to get a towel, and literally within 30 seconds the hot tap had come on. I probably was playing with it, but obviously no one exactly knows, and yeah, so I got burnt that way.
Your poor mother. She clearly obviously had to get you straight away to hospital.
Yeah, well, this is the point, because when people get burnt, sometimes you don't know. And obviously every second counts. And when you're burnt to the third degree, you know, your body's going under a lot of stress at the moment. I wasn't crying because I was just in paralytic shock. Mm. So she actually didn't know until she noticed the soles of my feet bleeding. And then obviously it was after that, it was just like a horror story. Yeah.
So what happened when she actually realised, your mum, that you did have the most awful burns on your body? What happened next?
So, you know, the ambulance was called and they didn't think I was going to even make it to the hospital. And obviously, you know, they dashed cold water on you. They tried to kind of bring me back from the paralytic shock and stuff. And my mum thinks that I was resuscitated in the ambulance because they injected me with something, because they stopped the ambulance completely on the side of the road, injected me with stuff. And do you know, like, when they say, would you like to hold her, they didn't think I was gonna reach the other end. So
this is just a heartbreaking story, Lucy. Must be really difficult for you to talk about it, actually, and certainly really, really difficult to hear about it as well. So, and what are we talking about in terms of timescale from the point that you were in the bath and the time that your mother called an ambulance because she'd realised the extent of the damage to your body?
Well, the timescale was, I was burnt in something crazy like 0.03 seconds. So it's the point of, even if my mum was in the bathroom with me, I would have still gotten burnt, because the thermostat in my household was broken. So the hot tap wasn't running lukewarm first and then gradually getting hotter. It was basically, it was like fire coming out of a tap, to the point where, you know, I was burnt. My mum, like, noticed where I was burnt a few minutes, but even she said that it wasn't registering that I was burnt. Like, she didn't know what was happening because, you know, she was 24, 25 at the time, and she just didn't realise that hot water could burn like that. And many people don't, you know, they come to me and say, you know, have you been in a fire? Or, you know, people don't realise the extent that hot water can do. And then, so, back in the ambulance, you know, my mum said it went over in a flash because they were driving that fast to try and get me to the other end. And then I was met on the other side by so many doctors and they just, like, whisked me away. But my mum was just in shock. She didn't really know what was happening at the time.
You were in hospital for quite some time, weren't you, Lucy?
Yes, 3 months under sedation, yeah.
When did you start to comprehend and understand that you perhaps looked a little bit different to your peers?
Well, obviously, because I've had my burns for such a long time, you know, they've been a part of me. But I'd say, like, starting school, so, you know, when I went into reception and I was with other children, definitely noticed something different, and then that's when questions started to form, like, you know, why am I different? And then, like, an anger came towards that as well, you know, why me? Why do I have to enjoy these burns? It's not fair. And, you know, I did reach a few times, you know, a depressive state because of that.
And how old were you when you were getting depressed, Lucy? At primary school?
No, not depressed in primary school, but I knew I was different. It was in the back of my head, and I was always continuously, like, nervous meeting people, like, as if the point I had, like, social anxiety, like, to the worst extent. Mm. But it has, like, affected me in different ways, like, and different parts of my life. You know, in secondary school, I did reach a depressive state and stuff, and I had counselling, and, yeah, it was hard. I didn't get bullied or anything, but I think it's just an emotional, you know, I had to accept myself, and I was finding it hard to do that.
How old were you when your mother actually told you the story of how it all happened?
My mum's always told me that from day one. My mum's always been, she always believes that, you know, you should tell your kids stories. Obviously not too, like, not in depth, but I always knew that, you know, I was burnt in a bath. I have to have all these operations to make me feel better. And I remember one point in the car, actually, and I think I must have been about 4 years old, and it was when I was just starting school, and, you know, I asked her, you know, exactly what happened. I wanted to know more in depth, because all I knew at that point was I'd been in a bath injury. So as time went on, I was told more and more.
That's Lucy's story. Now I'm joined in the studio by Fadi Issa, who's a plastic surgery trainee at Oxford's John Radcliffe Hospital, who's carrying out research into the effect of burns. Welcome, good to have you here. I don't think we talk about burns enough, do we?
No, we certainly don't.
I mean, it's only probably the catalyst is the sort of fireworks and Halloween. That's why we're talking
Absolutely.
About it.
I mean, I think it's a seasonal time now for burns, so around Halloween and bonfire night and so on. But I'd like to just first of all say what a heartbreaking story that is that we've heard from Lucy, and it's really brave of her to share that with us.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to really highlight a few things in her story, if that's okay. First of all, it's really the most vulnerable people in our society who are affected by burns. It's children and the elderly. And burns are preventable, and that's key. So it's early recognition that someone's had a burn. It doesn't take much. So Lucy said it took 0.03 seconds for her to have a burn. Actually, at 65 degrees Celsius, it only takes 1 second for someone to suffer a full thickness burn through the whole skin.
And it was only discovered by her mother when she sort of started bleeding, she described.
Yeah, so clearly what happened there was she'd lost some of the layers of her skin and she started bleeding. But it really doesn't take much, and especially in children who have much thinner skin than we do. So babies have skin that is 15 times thinner than an adult's. Mm. So it really doesn't take much to suffer a full thickness burn. And it is these household things that cause burns. So water in baths, kettles, hot irons, and if you imagine a cup of tea, a curious toddler pulls it off and suffers full thickness burns. So it is something that as adults we should be vigilant of and actually aim to prevent these injuries from happening in the first place. 90% of burns are preventable.
And also we heard that, you know, it wasn't immediately apparent that she was burnt because she wasn't crying, because she was in a state of shock.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously if your child cries, then you know there's something wrong. So that obviously delayed the understanding of the true extent of the damage to her skin.
Absolutely. But once it was realised, I think it's something that is key is the first aid. Even if there's a short delay between realising someone's burned, the first aid is key to reducing the size of the burn and reducing the depth and extent of the burn. And it's the three C's, really: cool, call, and cover. So you have to cool the burn under cold running water for 20 minutes. That actually makes a difference. You have to do that. Call for help. So call the emergency services or a GP. And then cover with cling film. That's the best thing.
Does that prevent infection?
It covers, because you've lost the skin, you've lost the barrier, it can help prevent infection, but also it keeps the patient warm and prevents any fluid from seeping out. So cover with cling film and go straight to hospital. Don't put anything on. Mm. People sort of think putting toothpaste on or creams. Mm. Don't do that. Straight to hospital with cling film.
Mm. And that perhaps will make a difference to the outcome.
Absolutely. There is very good research that shows that if you are able to cool a burn very early on, 20 minutes under cold running water, that can reduce the extent of the burn. Mm.
Let's talk about your research into burns.
Thank you. Well, what we're doing at the JR and Stoke Mandeville Hospital, and this is part of Restore Research,
That's a charity that funds you, isn't it?
It's a charity that funds the research. Absolutely. And what we're looking at, there are multiple themes in Restore, but what I'm looking at least, is ways of improving the reconstruction after burns. So at the moment, someone who has a massive burn, someone say like Lucy, a big percentage area, there are very few options for reconstruction. What we often do is skin graft, but some people don't have enough skin to graft if they've suffered a very severe burn.
And where would you normally take that skin from?
So we like to take it from areas that aren't very visible, say the thigh, so on, but say someone has a full body burn, often there aren't many areas you'd have to take it from the scalp, for example, and it's very difficult to produce enough skin to cover the burn that you need. And so what we're looking at is ways of improving that. So we're looking at artificial skin, growing skin in a lab, or even transplanting skin and ways of improving the transplantation process.
Mm. So how do you grow skin in a lab?
So there are multiple ways, but really it's stem cells that we think are key. So creating a sort of scaffold that we can then put stem cells in, and the stem cells grow and create a skin structure. And people have done this and with varying levels of success. And I think that is certainly a good stream of research. It's regenerative medicine, but also transplantation of skin, I think, is very important. That's taking skin that is from a donor and using that because it's ready-made and we know it works. The problem there is that if you were to have a skin transplant, you would then need immunosuppression. Mm. So these are drugs that reduce your immune responses so you don't reject the skin.
I see, because of course the skin is our major organ.
Absolutely. Any other transplant.
Yeah.
But we don't really want to put patients who've had burns on immunosuppression. So because immunosuppression has very serious side effects such as cancer and kidney disease, and you wouldn't want to put someone on that for the rest of their life. So we're looking at ways of preventing the skin from being rejected without the use of immunosuppression.
So that's where you are now with the research. So what more needs to be done?
Well, I think, first of all, I want to highlight that prevention is key, and getting that message out is absolutely key. And in terms of the research, what we need really is the support of people. So if they're able to, for example, visit the Restore Research Trust and have a look at what we do and ways of supporting us. Mm. And anyone who's interested in research, speaking to us about ways that they can get involved.
Fadi, we heard Lucy describe the social anxiety that she felt. I mean, obviously there's the physical impact of being burnt, but in fact, sometimes the mental impact, the mental effect, can be even worse.
I completely agree. Burns injuries are for life. Scars are for life. And you don't know how people are going to react to having a scar, and especially such an extensive scar such as Lucy's. And so the psychological impact of a scar on both the patient and the family can be massive. And that's something that we're also looking at Restore. We have someone looking at the psychological impact of scarring and of burns, and of ways of really helping people cope with having scars for life and reintegrating them.
Let's just have a listen, actually, because I want to play you something else from Lucy. We'll find out what helped Lucy through her most difficult time.
My mum. Mm. My mum, definitely. She's been my rock. It's been both our journey, and support is very, very important, hence, you know, National Burns Awareness Day. It's just a chance to get us all together as a unit and to support each other for those who maybe they don't have support. And I've been extremely lucky in that sense of having a really good close network, and you always have to think there's always someone much worse off than you.
When did you begin to accept your scars?
I started to accept them probably like leaving school. Yeah, leaving secondary school, I started to really accept myself and build on my confidence and, you know, started to, like, tell my story. Well, I didn't do that until recently, but it's always something that I wanted to do, but I just haven't had the confidence to do it. Like, why would people listen to my story? But I just want to enforce the positive atmosphere surrounding burns.
I've learnt a lot from this conversation, Lucy. I really have. And, you know, I'm a mum of two children, and many, many mothers listening to this will get your message. And it's an incredibly powerful one as well. Do you ever still come up against negativity?
I think everyone has their demons. You know, I'd be lying if I said, you know, I don't have a bad day. And it is very rare now because I have learnt to accept myself and, you know, take me as I am or don't take me at all sort of thing. But I think everyone has a bad day. Yeah, like once in a blue moon, I'll look down and I'll have that question in my head, you know, why me?
Fadi, it's very important, I would imagine, that burns victims actually have a support network around them.
Absolutely. I think that's key. So having a support network in terms of friends and family is really important, but also in the wider sense, meeting other people who've had burns and seeing how they live with their injuries. I think that is very important to see that they're really not alone, that there are other places that they can turn to for support. And ultimately, it's about them coming to terms with having the injury and being able to live with it and not hide it.
Absolutely. And certainly all the research that you are doing will help people very much live with it and in fact change their lives completely. How can people find out more about the charity Restore Burn and Wound Research? Because of course that's the charity that funds the research that you're doing at the JR and Stoke Mandeville Hospital.
Quite. So if people like to visit the website, that's restore-research.org.uk, they can find a wealth of information on
just
there.
You know, please be aware, please be vigilant. Let's all keep safe in Oxfordshire. Thank you very much for joining us, Fadi.